The Complete Books of Charles Fort. The Complete Books of Charles Fort. The Book of the Damned / New Land / Low / Wild Talents. With a new introduction by Damon Knight. Founder and first president of Science Fiction Writers of America, author of Charles Fort, Prophet of the Unexplained. Dover Publications Incorporated. New York. Copyright 1974 by Dover Publications Incorporated. All rights reserved. This Dover edition, first published in 1974, is a republication of the omnibus volume originally published for the Fortean Society by Henry Holt and Company, New York, in 1941. The four books by Fort are unabridged and unaltered, but the 1941 introduction by Tiffany Thayer has been omitted. A new introduction has been written specially for the present edition by Damon Knight. The publisher is grateful to Holt, Reinhardt, and Winston Incorporated for permission to reproduce the index originally prepared for the 1941 omnibus volume. The individual books by Fort were originally published as follows: The Book of the Damned, Boney and Live Right, Inc., New York, 1919, New Lands, Boney and Live Right Incorporated, New York, 1923, Lowe, Claude H. Kendall, New York, 1931, Wild Talents, Claude H. Kendall, New York, 1932. The present edition has had the encouragement and cooperation of the International Fortean Society, Info, P.O. Box 367. Arlington, Virginia, 22210. International Standard Book Number, 0-486-23094-5. Library of Congress Catalog Card Number, 74-79217. Manufactured in the United States by Courier Corporation. 2309-4511. www.doverpublications.com. Biographical Note. Charles Fort was born in Albany, New York, August 6, 1874, and died in the Bronx, May 3, 1932. He spent most of his life in New York City, but lived in London for several years in the 20s. His published works include the books of Charles Fort and a novel, The Outcast Manufacturers. Letter from Charles Fort to Kenneth Roberts, the novelist. Introduction. To the Dover edition. Charles Fort, 18 years old, slammed his father's stained glass front door hard enough to break it. Shortly thereafter he left home and spent a year newspapering, then traveled around the world on about 80 cents a day. He married a woman who, according to one account, had been a cook in his grandfather's house, and they settled down in New York to 20 years of poverty. Then, at 42, Charles Fort came into a modest inheritance, and he and his wife lived happily ever after. What charms me about this story, remembering all the cautionary tales about people spoiled by money, is the fact that the inheritance transformed Fort's life for the better. He was able to drop the journalism and fiction that no one especially wanted, and do exactly what he wanted to do. What he wanted was to write the books you hold in your hand. Some discoveries can be made only by the exercise of inhuman patience. The Curie's refined radium. Jane Goodall watched chimpanzees. Charles Fort sat at a table in the New York Public Library or the British Museum every working day for 27 years, reading and rereading the back files of every available scientific journal, popular science magazine and newspaper. When he found something out of the ordinary and not conventionally explainable, he made a note of it. Eventually he had thousands of these notes, written on little slips of paper, filed in shoeboxes. He found that sober and experienced observers, again and again, had reported falls of blood, of fish, of frogs, had seen unknown bodies in the heavens and unknown objects flying overhead. Long before they were called UFOs, Fort listed sightings of oddities in the sky from as far back as 1779. Some of these things had been seen by hundreds of people. For example, the unknown airship that flew back and forth over Britain in 1913. It appeared for 3 weeks over England and Wales. Fort said, possibly an airship from Germany could appear over such a city as Hull, upon the east coast of England, without being seen to arrive or to depart, but so far from Germany is Portsmouth, for instance, that one does feel that something else will have to be thought of. The appearances over Liverpool and over towns in Wales might be attributed to German airships by someone who has not seen a map since he left school. The airship had a searchlight that swept the ground. Newspaper pundits said it was the planet Venus. Fort was at his best when he began to examine why and on what grounds these data had been excluded. Take, for example, the fishmonger explanation of a fall of periwinkles and crabs. Upon May 28, 1881, near the city of Worcester, England, a fishmonger, with a procession of carts, loaded with several kinds of crabs and periwinkles, and with a dozen energetic assistants, appeared at a time when nobody on a busy road was looking. The fishmonger and his assistants grabbed sacks of periwinkles, and ran in a frenzy, slinging the things into fields on both sides of the road. The details are mine, but I have put them in, strictly in accordance with the circumstances. There was, upon May 28, 1881, an occurrence near Worcester, and the conventional explanation was that a fishmonger did it. Inasmuch as he did it unobserved, if he did it, and inasmuch as he did it with tons upon acres, if he did it as I have described, if he did it. He noted that at one time only superstitious persons believed that stones could fall from the sky, therefore when a supposed meteorite was found, it had been there in the first place. Now, when strange things are seen or heard in the sky, they are only meteors. In a letter to Theodore Dreiser, October 29, 1916, Fort replied to Waldemar Comfort's charges that he was a Christian Scientist and a Berkeleyite. He did not believe with Berkeley, Fort said, that all things exist only in the beholder's consciousness. He believed that all things, including beholders, are figments of a superconsciousness. As for inconsistency, another charge of Comfort's, Fort said, in X, I have pointed out that, though there's nothing wrong with me personally, I am a delusion in superimagination, and inconsistency must therefore be expected from me, but if I'm so rational as to be aware of my irrationality, why, then I have glimmers of the awakening and awareness of superimagination. In 1931, when Tiffany Thayer and Aaron Sussman founded the Fortean Society, Fort had to be tricked by mendacious telegrams into attending the celebratory banquet. He said he would not join the organization himself, any more than I'd be an elk. Thayer, an ambitious and energetic man, genuinely liked Fort and believed in him. He also tremendously enjoyed making trouble and irritating people. Under his direction, and paid for largely by him, the Fortean Society magazine Doubt was a curious mixture of pseudo-scholarship and deliberate outrageousness. In his introduction to the original edition of this book, he pictures Fort as a medieval swordsman born out of his time. It often occurred to me that his frame called for leather and buckles, but this was typical hyperbole, probably influenced by the fact that Thayer himself was short and slender. Fort, in fact, was built more like a walrus than like a warrior. He was an utterly peaceable and sedentary man. He lived quietly with his wife, almost never went out or had visitors, had no telephone. His only friends, except for a few apartment house neighbors, were Dreiser and Thayer. He spent his mornings working at home, afternoons in the library. He and his wife went to the movies nearly every night. Fort was championed during his lifetime by a long list of literary figures, most of whom are now little read. The books of Charles Fort stayed in print in the original edition until the late 60s, when paperback editions of the separate volumes began to appear. Now, in this new edition, it has still another lease on life. Hundreds of thousands have read it who have never read Theodore Dreiser, Tiffany Thayer, Burton Rasko, Booth Tarkington or Ben Hecht. And yet it is not, by any ordinary standards, an easy book. Fort showers you with falls of insects, of fluff, of stones. It sometimes seems that he wants to bury you in data. His interpretations are irregular, whimsical, mutually exclusive, elliptical, and contrary. Just because of this, his book is one that can be gone back to again and again, it does not wear out. I open it at random, about the same time, water was mysteriously appearing at Martinsville, Ohio, according to the Philadelphia Public Ledger, October 19, 1892. Behind a house, a mist was falling upon an area not more than a dozen feet square. St. Louis Globe Democrat, November 19 that, in Water Street, Brownsville, PA, there was a garden, in which was a peach tree, upon which water was falling. And Fort adds, for all I know, some trees may have occult powers. You may read this book for the first time straight through if you like, the second time you will probably invent your own way skipping, sampling, making your own connections as you go. Fort would have approved of this, he wrote, one measures a circle, beginning anywhere. And, as I open the book at random again, a barrier to rational thinking, in anything like a final sense, is continuity, because of which only fictitiously can anything be picked out of a nexus of all things phenomenal, to think about. This is Fort's book, his life, his own voice, he might have said of it, as Walt Whitman said of Leaves of Grass, who touches this book touches a man. Damon Knight. February 1974. Contents. The Book of the Damned. New Lands. Lo. Wild Talents. Index. The Complete Books of Charles Fort. The Book of the Damned. 1. A Procession of the Damned. By the damned, I mean the excluded. We shall have a procession of data that science has excluded.